Now, the National Rifle Association got a lot of backlash from doctors this weekend after the organization told physicians via Twitter to, quote, stay in their lane, end quote, when it came to gun control. Emergency room doctors responded with graphic images and stories of treating gunshot wounds and said that guns and gun violence fall under their area of expertise. Mike Spees covers the gun lobby for The Trace. Mike, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, talk a little bit more. Give us an overview of what happened online this weekend in the gun debate.
A new study came out that I'm actually forgetting which medical journal it was in exactly.
The Annals of Internal Medicine, I think it was.
Right. And it was not a flattering portrayal for the NRA, as is often the case when it comes to medical studies that have to do with gunshot victims. And the NRA's response was to send out an incendiary tweet, I think 24 hours after the last mass shooting, saying, or essentially telling doctors to stay in their own lane, and essentially also saying that they didn't know what they were talking about and suggesting they were biased. And not consulted what they feel to be the appropriate people to speak on such matters, which, according to the NRA, is the NRA.
And then we saw a big response from doctors around the country, a lot of doctors talking about their experiences dealing with gunshot wounds and fatalities. Now, this isn't
right.
a new issue between doctors and the NRA. You've covered on and off a story going on in Florida about a law that restricted what doctors could ask their patients about. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, that's right. There is an ongoing feud between the National Rifle Association and the medical community, and it has played out in a couple different ways. One of the most notable ways actually dates back to 2010 in Florida. The NRA's most influential lobbyist, Marion Hammer, is based there and has been based there for a number of decades. And while Rick Scott was governor, she shepherded created a bill that became known as Docs versus Glocks that eventually that year was passed into law, which stated that doctors were not permitted, or it was illegal for doctors to ask patients whether or not they kept firearms in their home. Recently, within the last couple of years, after much back and forth litigation, federal court found that law to be unconstitutional because it's a clear violation of the First Amendment. But it was a really acrimonious 6 years, 6 or 7 years that, you know, between the start of that law and the end of it. And there were a lot of accusations that were unfounded accusations that were made by the NRA, you know, and I could summarize that by saying that the accusations were that doctors across America were engaging in some kind of like larger gun grabbing conspiracy. And that's why they were asking their patients, as opposed to the more logical reason, which is that doctors ask their patients all kinds of questions, you know, whether or not they recreationally do drugs, whether or not they drink, so they can provide better health care. And that was, you know, that's what was going on. That's what was going on there. And of course, this is sort of a continuation. So that feud came, you know, that feud eventually came to an end, and then the new study came out, and now it's erupted all over again.
Talking to Mike Spees, he covers the gun lobby for The Trace, looking at a rift this weekend and going back further between gun rights advocates and the medical community. And Mike, can you talk about doctors and trying to treat gun violence as a public health approach? The CDC, there have been questions about whether federal research can fund federal funding can support gun violence research. What is the current state of affairs of the CDC?
They can't. They're not allowed to research gun violence. It's an ongoing. I mean, I guess I'm also summarizing that, but that's essentially the case. And that's something that the NRA has been fighting against for a number of years too. Somehow, the concern is that the CDC has some kind of larger cultural bias against guns, as opposed to what the issue really is, which is there's an epidemic of gun violence in the United States that takes the lives of some 33,000 people every single year. And if you saw it in terms of sheer numbers, that as I said, rises to epidemic proportions and is no different than any other disease that takes the lives of thousands of people every single year. And their argument, of course, is that's how it should be studied. I think the NRA's primary concern is that once it becomes looked at scientifically, their argument, which is abstract and not scientific, becomes much weaker, since the doctors in general are not considered to be political. They're considered to be, they're considered to be guardians and people who save your life.
That makes sense. We just, of course, went through an election. What did you see when it came to political activism on either side of the gun debate in our midterm elections?
I mean, for the first time ever, even if you know it was accumulated, gun violence prevention groups outspent the National Rifle Association. I mean, the National Rifle Association spent less than it has. Its total expenditures were roughly in the ballpark of what they were in 2010, which is a dramatic, dramatic decrease, especially back from 2016 when it spent some $50 million, over $50 million, $30 million of which went to Trump. This year it was, I think, around $11 million, which is a reflection of the NRA's current financial situation, which is not very good. They've been caught up in a really complicated lawsuit over a program that ran afoul of a number of state regulations that they had a lot stake. They had a lot riding on in terms of revenue, and that program is called CarryGuard. Was a self-defense insurance product, meaning you buy insurance in the event that you shoot someone and claim self-defense, and the product purported to cover your legal costs. So that, coupled with the huge expenditures in the 2016 election and some other stuff that I think hasn't panned out, has put the NRA in a fairly precarious financial situation and ultimately, I think, made it less of a force in 2018.
And on the other side, the gun control movement, has it seen a growth in support and, I guess, financial and political clout?
It certainly seems that way. I mean, there's not, I couldn't empirically tell you, but, for the first time, certainly you had, you had Republican candidates returning NRA money, and you had Democrats openly campaigning on the issue, as opposed to just it being just part of their platform, but not something that they were making the primary or core aspect of their platform. And I think that has to do with a number of things, but the past year has been a really difficult one. And beginning with Parkland, sort of cliche to say at this point, but it did shift the political conversation. Even if there hasn't been, a legislative response federally, which is a whole other matter. I think it's fair to say that things are different now.
Talking to Mike Spies right now. He covers gun lobbying for The Trace. He's with us to talk about a recent back and forth between the NRA and a medical journal, and then healthcare providers, talking about gun control, a backlash from physicians after the NRA told doctors to stay in their lane when it came to gun control. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you follow this back and forth over the weekend? Should doctors have a voice when it comes to gun policy debates? Should we think of gun violence as a public health issue? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about the NRA, gun control, and doctors who are sharing their stories of treating gun wounds after the pro-gun organization told physicians to, quote, stay in their lane, end quote, when it comes to talking about firearms. Our guest is Mike Spies. He covers the gun lobby for The Trace. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think we should look at gun violence as a public health issue? Are you interested in hearing from doctors and medical organizations when it comes to gun issues and gun policy? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Let's go to your calls now. Mike is with us in Green Bay. Mike, hi.
Hi, good afternoon, good evening. So I was appalled to learn that we cannot even at a national congressional level study guns and gun violence. I believe that the NRA is nothing more than a political lobby that's interested in maintaining their own power rather than truly helping the individual of America. And I say this as a gun owner and a advocate of gun safety. I enjoy hunting as much as anyone else does in Wisconsin, but that doesn't mean that we can't advocate for common sense gun laws and allow people who interact with gun violence every day in their life, like doctors, to share their opinions and help educate the public.
Mike, thanks for the call. Mike Spies, is that something we're hearing more of nowadays? Again, as you said, after the most recent mass shootings, even gun owners calling on the NRA to allow more research and things like that.
I mean, I think one thing, if it's, you know, it's, I still don't want to make too much of it at this point, but, it, you know, going back to Parkland, in the wake of Parkland, you had some 64 or over 60 A or A-plus rated Republican legislators, state legislators in Florida, pass a gun bill that placed new restrictions on firearms, including raising the age for buying a long gun from 18 to 21, among two other things. They weren't the most devastating restrictions in the world or the most dramatic restrictions or changes that, you know, others have called for, which include assault weapon bans, that sort of thing. But still, you know, if you can look at Florida as a bellwether state, which has been sort of at the vanguard of expansive gun legislation over the last few decades, it was a truly unprecedented, cataclysmic moment. I mean, they willfully violated the NRA's authority. And then to top it off, Rick Scott, who had so eagerly done the NRA's bidding over his two terms as governor of Florida in every single way, signed the bill, which was also a huge moment because the consequence of that for him, and maybe it never made a difference anyway, which is something that's worth exploring, is that the NRA shockingly spent no money on his behalf during this election cycle when he was running for U.S. Senate. Now he's obviously locked in a recount, but it does suggest that it's possible when people, even the most stalwart defenders, not of gun rights, because I think it's an unfair way to frame it, but just the folks who are unwilling to even imagine a scenario previously, we're unwilling to imagine a scenario in which, you know, there's some common ground in which you can have your guns, but also agree to certain kinds of regulation. When people are intimately touched by the issue and the country is watching, and there's a huge call for some kind of action, it is really politically difficult to not do anything. It's more complicated on the national level because, you know, it's one thing when it's focused in one state. Obviously, you're now talking about people that are spread all over the country, and just passing anything at the federal level presents its own complications. But there is definitely a shift. I mean, I think it is fair to say that the NRA has ceded some ground in the last year.
Thanks for that call. Go next to Tom with us in Madison. Tom, hello.
Hi. I just wanted to point out that this one statistic that you mentioned was misleading in that you say 33,000 people a year are killed in gun violence in America, but 23,000 of those are actually suicides. And so that number's bandied about. My position, I guess, is just that if we focused more on mental health issues in this country, and also you know, a lot of the criminal violence that occurs in the inner cities in America, if that were taken out of the equation, most of America is on par with the...
Oop, I think Tom just dropped out mid-sentence there. Oh, there he is. Mike, thanks for calling in. Tom, Mike?
I don't think, I mean, I didn't actually say gun violence was the result of, you know, caused 33,000 deaths every year. I said there were 33,000 gun deaths. I don't think that that's a misleading number. I think that's just a factual number. Guns, and I'm not saying this as an advocate, I'm saying it just as a journalist, guns are a far more expeditious way to kill yourself than by, you know, a different means. But that's in some ways beside the point. I think the idea that you could somehow cut out, somehow like removing urban gun violence from the equation puts this country on par with other country is an odd way to think about it, because it suggests that the policies that currently exist, which put so many guns in circulation, are not connected to each other, which is a strange scenario. It's also, you know, strange to think about how, and this is the case in Florida, but it's in case of virtually every state, that those urban centers that the caller was talking about are totally handcuffed when it comes to trying to find their own solutions to such problems, because most states, almost all of them, have some kind of preemption regulation that prevents local municipalities from setting any of their own regulations stricter than those that are passed at the state level.
Tom.
There are so many ways to get guns right now. It's an unfair way to think about it and characterize it. If you're a rural gun owner or a suburban gun owner because you're not connected to crime, then your thought is that we should not have any restrictions on weapons, or we should be permitted to buy as many of them as we want, as if that didn't somehow drive demand or cause more weapons to wind up in the street elsewhere. If that's the way you're thinking about it, then I can quickly clear that up for you and say that that's very, very misguided.
Thanks for the call, Tom. We'll go next to Michael in Arlington. Michael, hi.
Hi. So I would like to comment on the physicians asking the question about guns in the home, and my knee-jerk reaction to that was that it was totally unnecessary and they should not be doing that. But after considering it further, when you think about the fact that these physicians are often prescribing psychotropic medications to people, or, you know, any type of medication that they're not totally sure how the individual will react to, I think, upon that thought, I think it's their duty to ask if there are guns in the home so they can be aware of the fact of the danger they might be putting someone into. And then that goes right along with the idea that 23,000 of these deaths by guns are suicides, because how much does medication weigh into that? And should we at least be taking numbers on that with the physician? I think so. And that's all I have.
Michael, thanks for the call. I know there's the long court case you talked about in Florida. Mike, is it getting to be more state of the art for physicians to ask their patients if they have firearms in their home?
You know, I'm not sure. I think what the caller said, he made a very wise and smart point. I think that that's true. I mean, I think that I believe that to be among the reasons doctors might ask their patients about whether or not they own weapons. This is also a second, you know, there's another matter, which is often, I mean, physicians, you know, pediatricians are asking their patients, which are children, which is the same, I guess, you know, it's the same sort of, I guess it's thematically the same kind of idea, you know, whether it be because they have to think about what medications are being prescribed, but also, some of this comes down to philosophically, what do you think about a doctor's role in a society? And the doctor's job is, in theory, to keep you as healthy as possible, and in some ways to protect you from disease or from harm to some extent. And if there's the concern about psychotropic drugs, which is, you know, a wise thing. There's also the concern about if a kid's a teenager, for example, and the kid is experimenting with recreational drugs, or the kid's drinking, right? Teenagers drink. And your doctor is certainly within his or her rights to ask if you're someone who drinks when you're a teenager. And then to follow that question up by saying, is there a gun in your home and is it locked up? I mean, that's a acting as if those two things might not go together is potentially negligent.
And we'll leave it there. Thanks to Mike Spies. He covers the National Rifle Association and Gun Lobby, more generally, I should say, for The Trace. He joined us today to talk about doctors challenging the NRA over gun violence after the NRA told doctors to stay, in effect, out of the conversation.